Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Once a week, we are going to be talking with our friend, attorney Brad Young, and just talk about what is in the news of a legal nature. Brad, always good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure, Dave. Anytime.
So let's start with the soda gun. This one's interesting.
Yeah, this is a great story, and it's great because it's funny, but it also highlights some important legal and constitutional issues. Now, this will be a shock to no one. This comes out from the Ozarks in southern Missouri, and a middle school kid builds a replica of an AK-47 out of Dr. Pepper cans. Mm. Now, it's not functional. Mm-hmm. You can't shoot it, but he just built it, and honestly, it looks a whole lot like an AK-47. So he posted online, and all of a sudden, the next day, kid shows up at school. The school says, well, we've got to, you know, search you, and you're under double secret probation, as they said, in Animal House. And then finally, they suspended him from school because he posted it. And, you know, we can laugh about it, but the issue is, can schools punish kids for pictures or speech or art that they do outside of class? Mm-hmm. They don't bring it onto campus. They do it in the comfort of their own home, and yet they're being punished for it. Can schools do that? And so the parents of this middle schooler filed a lawsuit last week in southern Missouri, and we're going to see this play out in court.
So what do you think? What are the chances?
Well, I'm relatively certain that the parents are going to prevail here. And here's the reason why. The Supreme Court dealt with almost this exact same issue about 4 years ago, where a cheerleader posted some, shall I say, unsavory comments about a teacher. And then on her social, not even on social media, it was just sent around via Snapchat. And somehow it got passed on to the school. The student was suspended, and they filed suit. The Supreme Court said, look, there's two things going on here. First of all, schools have a very, very limited ability to influence or to direct or punish students for speech outside of class. And then secondly, it's a question of whether there's any direct threat against anybody at school. Now, the last time I checked, a Dr. Pepper AK-47 isn't going to hurt anybody. And so I'm really sure that, number one, this case will probably get settled. And number two, if it doesn't get settled, the parents are going to win this one.
So, Brad, if you were the attorney for the school district and they said, we think it's okay, but in an abundance of caution, we want to call the cops and have them do a home visit, would you advise them, nah, don't even do that? Or do you think that's appropriate?
No, if I were advising the school district, I would absolutely take that action because that serves two functions. Number one, it shows that the schools can't specifically direct everything that kids say outside of school. But then secondly, it shows that you're taking into consideration the safety of the kids at school so that the student doesn't come to school. That would be the absolute most appropriate thing to do. But the problem here, Dave, is that students have, and these things drive me crazy, when schools have what they call zero tolerance policies.
Right.
Okay, zero tolerance policies is a fancy way of saying we are idiots. Okay, because anybody can look at a Dr. Pepper AK-47 and say, that's not going to hurt anybody. But if you have a zero tolerance policy, I mean, this is the same kind of logic that led a couple of years ago to some kid in grade school who took his peanut butter and jelly sandwich and bit it in the shape of a pistol and pointed it at his buddy, and he got suspended. Mm-hmm. Now, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches don't kill anybody unless you need the Heimlich or you're allergic to peanuts. So it's those zero tolerance policies that are the problem here.
So I don't know the answer to this question, so this is just a big loaded question. Do kids have the same freedom of speech that adults do in a school setting? Because we all grew up in schools where we were told we can't say certain things, we can't express mm-hmm. certain things. We can't, in some places, even public schools, have to have a dress code. Like, do they get the same protections that the rest of us do?
And that's a great question, Wheels. And here's the answer. We know what the answer is. The answer is that outside of school, kids have the same First Amendment free speech protections as anyone else. outside or inside school, the question then becomes, and this was decided way back in 1968 in Tinker versus Des Moines, where kids were coming to school with black armbands protesting the Vietnam War. And the Supreme Court said in the 60s that kids even have freedom of speech at school. But the question is, does it disrupt the school setting by you exercising your free speech? If yes, you don't get to say it at school. If no, then you get to say it at school. So, for example, we had a whole bunch of kids who would wear pro-Trump t-shirts to school back in 2016 and 2017, and they were kicked out of school for wearing pro-Trump shirts. The courts ruled, and I don't think any of these actually got very far in the courts, but that was an easy call because they were exercising their free speech to wear mm-hmm. a shirt that was pro-Trump. But if you come to school and say, well, you know, my religion is I'm a Native American and I have to smoke peyote during school hours, they're going to send you home for that. So, you know, when I was a drummer in high school, I didn't think about telling my friends, hey, say you're a Native American and maybe you can get away with smoking weed at school. I didn't think about doing that. But if you do that today, you're still going to get kicked out because that would be deemed to be disruptive.
Dave, have you seen the pictures of the Dr. Pepper quote unquote gun?
No, I haven't.
It's literally just 8 Dr. Pepper cans kind of arranged in the shape of a gun.
So it's not.
It is ridiculous. I find this so beyond ridiculous. And by the way, are guns just considered to be evil by
just
everyone
prima facie
else?
Evil.
Yeah, just like, oh, you referenced a gun. That's bad. That's so weird to me that they would take
it
to
this extent. Yeah, it is weird, and it reflects, obviously, our culture today. I mean, when I was a kid, and I know things have changed, but a lot of times I would go goose hunting before school, and I would keep a shotgun in the back of my El Camino. That really dates me. But I would have a shotgun in my El Camino when I came back in from goose hunting. Well, if you did that today, I mean, you're going to the slammer. So I understand that things have changed over time. But when you get to the point where a crudely made Dr. Pepper AK-47 lands you a 2-day suspension, that's just absurd.
And people who are in arrears on their student loans better look out. They're back in business.
They are back in business. The number I saw today was $1.7 trillion right now in defaulted and unpaid student loans.
Wow.
$1.7 trillion with a T. And so none of these have been collected on since the year 2000, since the beginning of COVID. And now the government is saying, you know, look, we've floated this bill for long enough. All of the attempts at waiving and eliminating student debt have disappeared. And so now it's time to start the repayment process. And it will be enforced.
I've heard it's our biggest asset, the country, is the student loan money.
Well, it depends on what you say an asset. I mean, treasury bills are technically assets. And there's trillions of dollars in T-bills that are floating out there. But it is an enormous asset. But in reality, it's kind of a questionable asset because we have $1.7 trillion right now in these loans. But how many of those are going to be defaulted on?
Yeah.
They're going to go unpaid. A lot of those, I bet, are uncollectible. And so the question isn't the total amount. The question is, you know, how much do you actually collect?
Talking to attorney Brad Young here. Harvard is suing Donald Trump. What over?
Well, Harvard's suing Trump because Trump has announced that there's two things, really. One is Trump is saying we're going to challenge your 501c3 status, which would make it non-tax deductible for millionaires and billionaires to write big checks to Harvard. But then secondly, they're saying unless you clean up your program, meaning the Trump administration has defined clean up as being you have to eliminate all DEI programs and you have to submit your curriculum to the Department of Education for approval before we'll give you any money. And right now, the last number I saw was annually, Harvard gets about $7 billion every year from the federal government in student loans and research grants and all kinds of money. And so Harvard's suing them, saying this is a First Amendment issue that you're trying to control how Harvard speaks, control the speech that's given, and you're trying to control the speech of the professors and the teachers. And this is coming directly from the government, and it violates the First Amendment.
And what do you think of the chances on that one?
Well, first of all, there is no right to receive grants from the federal government. So that's the first hurdle I think that Harvard's going to have to overcome. They don't have a right. It's not an entitlement, right? The government just chooses to give it to them. But secondly, if the government says we're going to make the giving of these grants contingent upon you following even curriculum guidelines, I think that really skates up right up to the edge of a First Amendment violation. And I would think that there, even if this goes to trial or goes up on appeal, the court would try to navigate something in between, because clearly the government doesn't have to give the money, but they can't make a contingent on you speaking the way the government wants you to speak.
So finally, there is a case involving LGBTQ textbooks in schools. Or books.
Yeah, exactly. And what's happened, this comes out of Maryland, and this case was argued in front of the Supreme Court this week. And what happened was, is that parents objected to this school in Maryland when the county approved books featuring LGBTQ plus characters for inclusion in all of their language arts curriculum. This wasn't a special class. This was required reading for English classes and other types of language arts classes for children between the ages of 3 and 10. And so some parents objected. They were Muslim parents, Roman Catholic, Ukrainian Orthodox, Roman Catholic, and they objected, filed suit and said, our kids get to get out of that. And it was argued in front of the Supreme Court this week, and at least 6, if not 7 of the justices of the Supreme Court expressed an enormous degree of skepticism about whether the school could force parents to allow their kids to sit through this curriculum without any say or objection.
What do you guys think of that? Hmm. How's that hit you?
I don't know why we would treat gay people any differently than straight people. So I don't look at it and go like, oh, it's bad to be gay, so I get why they want to sit out, and that's just the way I look at it, and I have a hard time understanding the other side.
So, for example, if a pair of gay parents said, we want our child to opt out of any straight cisgender
representations. I mean, how is it any different than this?
Right. Equal protection.
How is it any different than a racist deciding I don't want to learn about minorities?
Brad, what about those questions?
Well, at least the lawsuit filed by the parents, who were Muslims and Catholics and Ukrainian Orthodox, didn't base it on their preferences, but based it on the elements of their religion and of their faith. So you would have to say, well, I belong to a religion that says heterosexuality is invalid and only homosexuality is allowed. If there was a religion that said that, then maybe that would be a plausible argument for the parents. But we don't have that case in front of us. We do have Muslim parents with Islam rejecting homosexuality and Catholic parents with Catholicism, by and large, rejecting homosexuality. And so they're doing it on the basis of freedom of religion, not freedom of preference.
Boy, yeah, but I mean, like, I thought that in a public setting, we're not supposed to give preference to those things. Like, send your kid to a private school if you don't want to be exposed to the rest of society.
Well, like so many other times, it seems to come down to the right to practice your religion to someone else's right to free speech. And
right.
We've been
right.
fighting that battle all the way back.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, but the Supreme Court, we do have precedent on this, too. The Supreme Court, about 15 years ago, I think the case was Wisconsin versus Yoder, where the Supreme Court said that Amish parents could take their kids out of school because for them it was against their religion to have their kids in school, so they could remove them from school. And so the opt-out, and this is really what all the justices focused on in this present case, is that the opt-out procedure is so easy. The parents just have to be told that this is happening, and the parents can object, and then the school could just send them to study hall. And so the opt-out procedure being so easy makes it, I think, that probably a 7-2 decision for the Supreme Court, saying that the school can't really say, well, we can't send them to study hall because that's such an easy thing to do. And that's probably the way they're going to rule.
I wonder how religious families who believe in like a new earth deal with science class and evolution. Are you able to opt out of science class in that case? I just wonder if that's ever like made it to the Supreme
Court.
Yeah,
what about young earthers, Brad?
You know, I got to tell you, Dave, somebody the other day said, Brad, whenever I hear it on the radio, you got answers for everything. You know, I don't have an answer for the new earthers out there. But I can say that if the court holds in this case that opting out is such an easy thing for the school to do. You know, if you could just go to study hall, then yeah, if you've got a new earther kind of religion going on here, then the school can just send you to study hall. I think the court's going to say that's an easy fix.
Wow.
It is, but I mean, you're still going to have to pass standardized tests at some point. You're still going to be graded on whether or not you know certain things. I mean, you're going to have to take tests if you're in school. If you're in a science class, you're going to have to take. So do you get different tests? Do you get to determine what's on the test and what's not?
That's a great question. That's why the Supreme Court decided what's called the Lemon Test years and years ago that says if the school has to get too much involved with determining what is part of a religion and what is not, then they just can't do it. And so if the school here has to get into parceling out what part of the test is religious or might infringe on uh-huh. someone's religious beliefs, the court's going to say the school doesn't have to do that.
That's great. I didn't know that.
Depends on how gay those test questions are. All right, Brad, you're the best. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. I don't
mind coming here. Welcome back, DGS 325. So, can we talk about yesterday when I had to leave the show 2 minutes early because I was choking? It was the weirdest thing. So, I broke a lot of rules. You're not supposed to eat at all, and I took a bite of something, and I swallowed that, and then I took a pill, and I don't take pills great. I never have. And the older I get, people know this, things get more difficult, and I have this pill I take every day, and it's not a horse pill, but it's not small. And so we're going back on air, so I try to take it really quickly. And you know how you start to throw a baseball, and you stop, and you stop, and you stop, and then you throw it, and it hits the ground in front of you? That's what I did with the pill.
Oh, no.
And it went sideways.
Ooh.
And so I could breathe.
Right.
But I had a sideways pill stuck in my throat.
Just feeling weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't.
Dude, your eyes were watering.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell the truth. I threw up. I went into C and had to throw up in the wastebasket because it wasn't going up. It wasn't going down.
Gotcha.
It was just.
Yeah, we thought you just had water go down the wrong pipe.
No. It was bad.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah.
Been there, but it still sucks no matter what. Like, it's one of those moments where, like, it's because it's so unusual, it is so uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're not used to a sideways pill in your throat.
Right, you're not used to anything being there permanently, right? It's used to being there for a split second and gone.
Last time that happened was when I swallowed those liquid gels when I was alone at home, and it went into the back of my face.
Uh-oh.
Like, it was, like, behind my cheekbone. I'm like, how is that a compartment? I was trying to Heimlich myself on the sink. It was bad. All I could think about was Fred Bottomer was watching me and C throw up in the wastebasket.
100%.
I did not want that for either one.
And I'm sure it didn't faze him at all.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX 332. That was a short little break there.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
We have Lindsay Mastis, who is our AI person, who's been on with us a couple of times from D.C. where she lives, and she is in town visiting family, and she is as Greek gets, and she brought us some baklava, and it made me smile because my mom loved it, and she called it baklava baba, which I think is superior to baklava. Oh, I think that's a better, more fun name. Wouldn't you rather order baklava baba anytime?
Yes.
She just loved it. I'd always make her say it. I'm like, what's that Greek baked confection you like? She's like, oh, baklava baba. I love it. Just keep saying it. It's so cute. So another nice day.
Yeah. And yeah, for the most part, tomorrow is nice too. Maybe a shower in the afternoon, late afternoon primarily. But I want to, like today, mainly a dry day, 82 for the high. So a couple of degrees warmer. Increase in shower and thunderstorm activity, non-severe as we go through Thursday night. Friday still looks like the wet day. Periods of rain, a couple of thunderstorms. I don't see much in the way, if anything, in severe weather. 78 on Friday. Fading showers Friday night. Saturday, partly sunny, 69. Sunday, partly sunny. Maybe a spot afternoon shower, but a lot of dry time. 74 on Sunday. I'm getting a little more interested in a weather system for Tuesday of next week, and that could bring some strong to severe weather, but that's a long way off. But I like to set the table from time to time.
So, Dave, granted, I have weather issues, and I think the older you get, you're drawn to watching weather more closely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have an issue with the phone. That's the problem.
That's true. It seems like weather is more up and down lately. Is that just a perception, or has it been sort of a wild ride this year?
I think that's a perception. It has been a wild ride. The thing is that this year, the storms that we've gotten have been quite strong to severe. It seems like we've had storm after storm after storm, but in reality, we really haven't. March was quiet, though we had one doozy of a storm system in March. April, kind of where it should be, kind of typical, and that should continue into May. Remember, the severe storm season is April, May, and into June.
Yeah. Andrew, can we play that twin sound here? So yes. I want you guys to hear this. I don't know if you've heard it or seen it on TikTok. These two twin sisters who are at least in their 50s, if not 60s, and they talk at the same time and they say the same thing. And if they separate them, they can talk, but they don't talk as effectively as if they do it standing next to each other saying the same words. So here's what it sounds like.
Okay, I'm clicking the button and nothing is happening.
They sound just like Andrew.
Yeah, they really do.
It says channel. It says channel does not exist.
Okay, hold on. Okay, where so is here, Andrew? I'll try
to play it. GAS1.
Okay. Run! He's got a gun. And our heart started to pound.
Speaking in unison is a thing that you do. How?
Yes, that's right.
How does this happen?
Well, it just happens, and we don't know why. But we have tried to talk separately, but we're not ourselves. It's not us. And it's very hard. And we don't care about the critics. We tell people, if you can't stand listening to us, simply just switch off the TV.
Do not switch off the TV. Guys, do not.
That's such an Australian viewpoint.
That's how you hearken the Antichrist right there.
I got to say, I was not a fan of that.
That's how you summon Godzilla.
That made me feel weird.
And I don't like identical twins that dress identically.
Not in their 60s.
Exactly. Like, my friends have identical twin little girls, and they dress them the same, and that bothers me enough. But these women are, like, 60 years old.
My stupid friends
and their dumb babies.
If it bothers you.
And believe me, you know I have made myself very clear on this.
These two little freaks in their sailor suits.
You know I have said I don't like that they look the same.
Oh, my God.
Your twins are off-putting to me.
I think Kristen Wiig and Fred Armisen used to do a similar bit on SNL where, like,
it could be fake.
One of them would start talking and the other one would, like, finish the word.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what the names of the characters were and if it was even those two actors, but reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. But way creepier, and I hated that. I'm sorry. Sorry to those twins.
I didn't hate it.
Did you like it?
No. It was just kind of on neutral ground.
Certainly disliked it.
It makes it nicer when they're Australian.
Yeah.
I thought that made it worse.
Oh, did it?
It makes it worse.
I don't know. Just Australians always make accent. They always make me feel chill. They always sound chill.
What if you ran into them just out on a road somewhere?
I would think they were punking me.
That's what happened to these people. That's
right?
How they got viral.
Oh, okay. That's just right.
Like, people thought they were punking them. Yeah, I thought people, were, they're like, these people are messing
with
me.
They were like witness to an incident.
Oh.
Do it one more time, just a little bit.
Play it.
Run. He's got a gun. Our heart started to pound.
Speaking in unison is a thing that you do. How?
Yes, that's right.
How does this happen?
Well, it just happens and we don't know why, but we have tried to talk separately, but we're not ourselves. It's not us. And it's very hard.
It does seem like one of them is trying to keep up with the other one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
But I wonder if it's just like, but not my choice. Maybe?
Like, she's the slower one?
Well, no, maybe. How could you tell if they have the same voice? They could be one. They could be alternating
who's
the lead.
Be flipping back and forth.
You watch which one's mouth is moving, Kevin.
Well, we can't see it.
Andrew, it's an audio. It's an audio file. You just go back to your hate, okay?
I was
go
watching,
back to hating
I was
twins.
Watching the TV. Like, it's video. Like, you got to watch the video.
Andrew.
Yes, Kevin?
He's treating you like a tiny twin in a sailor suit.
I know. Don't hate.
Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, brought to you by Schnucks. I would love it if someone read the tag with me in unison. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks reward tab.
We don't know how we do it.
What if we did it as Australians?
So
Schnucks.
Pardon me. So Dick Durbin, the Senate's number two Democrat, will not seek re-election. People had been speculating for about a week now, like, is he going to run again in 2026? But he says he will not seek re-election. That'll end his more than four-decade career in the Senate. I will say this. When I first learned what a senator was, I was taught that my senator was Dick Durbin. So
he's
been in
longer than you've been alive.
Yes. So, I mean, good for him for stepping down. I believe he's in his early 80s.
He doesn't seem that old.
No, he carries himself very well, but it's time to move out of the way.
Good for him.
He's been doing it 40 years. That's long enough.
And Rod Blagojevich can take over now.
Elon Musk says he's taking a step back from Doge after some Tesla blowback. He said on Tesla's earnings call yesterday, my time allocation to Doge will drop significantly, likely starting in May, saying the effort was mostly done.
Isn't there evidence that he's the worst CEO of all time? Like, he takes over Twitter, the most substantial and seemingly profitable social media platform, and just runs it into the ground and names it that stupid X. And then with Doge, it's like, and Tesla, he just seems to run things into the ground.
Yeah, Tesla has rebounded today, I'm pretty sure, from yesterday's drop in stock.
I don't know how they have any viability.
I might argue that the Twitter thing was on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think
he wanted to change the tone of the most popular social media outlet out there. I think he wanted it to be more chaos and less organized. And look, I think he probably felt like it was too liberal before. So we want to change that, bring back people that got banned, you know, just turn it into a different thing where he can then push his view.
See, if I were the richest man in the world, I would live on an island where I played baseball against zombie Pete Roses.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, right?
Yep.
I can occupy myself.
Yep.
What the hell?
Dude, I mean, people think I'm being mean. I don't think I am. I think people at that level that just can't stop have a problem. They have a legitimate mental problem, but they're never going to get diagnosed because they're successful.
Yeah.
So nobody's ever going to be like, you need help, bro.
Yeah.
But when you have everything you could ever want and that's not enough, you have a problem.
J.D. Vance said it was, quote, pretty crazy that he met Pope Francis in his last 24 hours here on Earth, saying, when I saw him, I didn't know that he had less than 24 hours left. I think it was a great blessing.
Poignant. Yeah, I bet that's kind of what Francis is saying in heaven right now.
Yeah.
So that's crazy, right?
He doth protest a bit too much, right? He's like, I had no way of knowing.
I met that pretty lady, J.D. Vance, and then I just died.
Then I was here.
I got lost in his eyes, and suddenly
I was so stunned by his eyeshadow.
The Ice Bucket Challenge, a viral trend from over a decade ago, has made a comeback with a new focus on mental health. It was originally aimed at raising awareness for ALS, but now the challenge supports organizations like Active Minds. It's called the Speak Your Mind Ice Bucket Challenge, and it's raised over $290,000 for mental health initiatives.
Was anyone out there with me when we did our Ice Bucket Challenge out in the fountain at Emmis?
Yeah.
Were you out there?
I remember when Team Girlfriend did it.
Yes, that same one. And I can't remember the young lady's name, but she was wearing shorts and she tripped running through the fountain and zipped both knees across the concrete and stood up, and she had strawberries the size of a silver dollar on both knees.
That sucks.
Oh, man.
That's so many of those over my life from sliding wrong.
Yeah.
The birth rates are languishing at record lows, according to the CDC. There was only a 1% increase in 2024 from 2023. 3.62 million babies were born in 2024, but that's a declining trend since 2015. And did you see, did you guys hear about the baby bonus? The
heard about it.
Proposed baby bonus. Trump is talking about giving mothers who have just given birth like a $5,000 just bonus for having a kid.
That's how I feel about that. I'm not a big social engineer, you know? I just think that we finagle stuff too much, and then we go too far, and we pull it back, and we go too far again.
I mean, we already get tax credits for having kids, right?
Yeah, I don't like just paying people to have babies.
No, that's weird.
Yeah.
Demi Moore got a big nod from People magazine. They've named the 62-year-old actor the most beautiful person of the year, which is nice. She didn't get to win the Oscar for her performance in The Substance, which I still want to watch. I have not
seen it either.
But it looks really good. I'm happy for Demi Moore that she's kind of having this like resurgence.
Yeah, she seems nice.
Yeah, that was my final story.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate
it. Alrighty.
All right, quick break. Right back. DGS. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday. Want a list of things that boomers are shocked that Gen Zers don't have the common skills to do?
Sure.
How to read Roman numerals. I'm not very good at that.
I mean, Gen Z.
I say, even if you, who cares?
I can get up to like 30.
Can you?
That's yeah. Nice.
Yeah, like what's the necessity for Roman numerals in the modern world?
Jeopardy questions, mostly.
Mm-hmm. How to write in cursive.
All right.
Yeah.
How to use a manual can opener.
They don't know how to do that?
That's what they say.
I have trouble with those.
Don't admit that.
I have big trouble.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory.
At my parents' house, which was formerly my grandmother's house, so very old house, they have like an automatic one that's stuck to the metal cabinets, you put the thing on, and that thing vexed me for
automatic as in
decades.
Electric?
It's electric, yeah. The ones that are mounted on the...
Yeah, it's mounted, and you just have to, it's magnetic, so you just hang the can from there and hit the
button. I know how to use a manual can opener, but they're difficult.
No, they're tough.
Who would rather use a manual than an electric?
Mm.
I don't own an electric one.
Yeah, it's like...
You twist it, and there you go. The can's open.
I don't open that many cans, I guess.
Yeah. I open a lot of cans.
Life is so easy.
Cans of whoop ass.
How to write a check.
All right. But again, how necessary is that skill at this point?
Mm-hmm.
How to mend clothes and sew on buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason they don't know this stuff, though. Like, the reason, as Kevin is pointing out, the reason is because these are outdated, obsolete skills.
I don't know. The sewing thing, you better learn. We got a recession coming up,
It's like asking a boomer if they know how to fix a wagon wheel. Why would you?
How to count correct change. Is that important anymore?
Yeah.
To a degree,
depending on your job. Yeah, I mean, if you work at like McDonald's or something, it's pretty important.
How to tell time on a clock with hands.
Again, kind of irrelevant. But it's not that hard.
That's the thing.
There are Gen Z people who can't tell the time by looking at a clock.
That's the thing. A lot of these, like that one, it's like, well, you can learn how to do it. It's not hard.
I feel like I could teach a grown-up in 2 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You see that little hand? That points to the hour. The other one points to the minutes. There we go. We're done.
Multiples of five?
It's a 10-second explanation.
Yeah.
How to unclog a toilet using a plunger.
Well, that's an important skill in life. You should learn that if you don't know how.
Unless you're Andrew, then
how difficult is that?
Yeah, you just put it in there and you
plunge.
Plunge away.
Is there any worse feeling, though, when the plunger is not doing the job?
No. No. You're like, man.
You just
what
feel like, what's happened
also,
in my life?
Also, like, sometimes you just have to wait it out. Sometimes time takes care of things.
Yeah. You're right.
No, you're right. How to address a piece of mail. Gen Z has no idea how to do that.
I mean,
just look at a piece of mail and copy that.
Yeah, but also, like, again, how many letters or anything are Gen Z sending? They probably use all of their bills online.
I got a tutorial in writing checks and sending mail when I was handling all my mom's affairs when she was in the nursing home and after she passed. And I had to, like, okay, what goes here and what goes there? And here's the address and...
I always love those things like, here's this future generation that doesn't have the same life, the same world that we have, and they can't do the things we need. Well, no kidding. Could you fix a wagon wheel? No, because you don't have a horse and wagon. You have a car.
When you're writing a check, do you ever put anything in the memo?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big memo guy.
Yeah, I am
it's
too.
It's fun.
To remember what it is.
Yeah. It's a nice little treat for yourself.
I think I honestly write like one or two checks a year.
Yeah. In each one, I just write baklava baba.